we're fortunate to have as our final presenter Dr. Leslie Brown, who is the Director of the Social Economy and Sustainability Research Network, and she's also a professor in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology at Mount St. Vincent University. So over to you, Leslie.
Thank you. Just a bit of housekeeping, which probably will come out of my time. Lunch is going to be served after we have our discussion here, but you might want to take a 15-20 minute walk. Get out there and... Oh, I have a story to tell you, but I can't tell you right now about this. That's something that I did in the classroom. But anyway, so, do you know I need this? Oh, wow, there, gee. Is this what the world looks like then? I told you I was a member of a short people power group for a significant period of my life. So I'm much less self-conscious about it than other people in this room probably are. So take a walk if you want, and then we'll give them time to set up our lunch. I'm reflecting on the term social economy, and I'm thinking about the title that we've given our meetings, Mobilizing Knowledge and Action. So I'm taking a kind of an action perspective here. And I'm also thinking about the title we gave ourselves as a network, which includes bridging and bonding, building community, building capacity, building cohesion, and of course building sustainability. The stakeholders in the debate, who may or may not always recognize themselves as stakeholders, are individuals and their families, you and I, communities, geographic and other, social economy practitioners, obviously, researchers and activists, governments, policy shapers, the people who shape our policies, and of course others. This isn't innocuous. And I'll be making the case that the social economy is so pervasive and affects us in so many ways. We are stakeholders, whether we realize it or not, and I think Penny's 91% there have a sense of that, however they're defining it. The social economy is a contested term, and so it should be. There's lots of disagreement on its precise definition, in part because people have a stake in who is in and who is out. But nevertheless, we agree, by and large, that it is an important part of society, at least those of us who pay attention to the social economy. And I'll reiterate something that I cite, which is that as a sociologist, certainly, and perhaps you will join me in this, I think it is really absolutely vital that we think of the economy as a social institution, something that we have created collectively over a period of, you know, our entire existence. It's through the economy that we meet our needs. We were not created to serve the economy, and that was driven home to me today as I listened to the News World or whatever I was listening to, and it said there is a consumer-led recession occurring in the United States. And one of the indicators of this recession is that people are calling in experts who can fix their appliances instead of buying new ones. Now, those of us who are into sustainability would have some concerns with that. And of course, this is all very, very important when we talk about policy and regulatory frameworks, fiduciary arrangements that came up in the last session, watchdogs, framing of the role of the state, and so on. I want to argue and suggest to you that there's a case here to be made both for precision and for ambiguity. A certain amount of precision is at times useful, even imperative. When we're discussing particular policy realm or particular regulatory frameworks, like what is a charity, who gets to be called a charity and why, it's important to be specific. Precise definitions, though, change. Their meanings change over time. One of the interesting things is that people feel they understand terms like social enterprise, nonprofit, and cooperative, but I submit to you that those terms are probably, in many respects, just as fuzzy as the term social economy. I ask my students to tell me what democracy is. Everybody thinks they know what democracy is. We live in a democratic country. Well, let me tell you that the definitions that they come up with are widely varied, right? We think we know the term. So precision is sometimes in perception and not in actuality. But we also have to recognize that ambiguity is inevitable, and indeed it helps to be comfortable living with a certain level of ambiguity. As a site for innovation and action, the social economy is necessarily changing. And it is hard to pin down, and people have talked about that, emerging elements of the social economy. And besides, for some purposes, we want to focus on more normative, value-laden, intentionally value-laden definitions. For others, it's type of organization and legal form that is more important. And I submit to you that we live with ambiguity all the time. And in fact, one of our international colleagues, Roger Speer, said, if it's any comfort to us, the European Union has lived without a consistent definition of the social economy for quite a long time now. But a term that, I'm uncomfortable, sorry, I'm going to fall backwards or something. The term the family has many meanings, doesn't it? Many meanings for different policies, many meanings for different legal regulatory frameworks, and we've seen the definition change recently, right? So why should the social economy be any different? We can talk about two ways, there's others, but two ways of talking about social economy. One is as an arena of activity in our society, perhaps even as a sector. The second is particular types of associations or organizations. The acronym SEO seems to be surfacing a lot these days. And it's easy to confuse the two, of course, because who is in and who is out becomes important if you're defining the term, an arena of activity. The discussion earlier about formal organization versus informal or less visible is part of this debate. Some see the social economy as a sector, and we've heard that term used at least two or three times today. Complementary to other sectors, the private and the public. Others see the social economy as foreshadowing an alternative. A different form of economy that could become even more important than it is, an alternative to the private sector and government control in many ways. And this debate calls to mind an ongoing debate within the cooperative sector, where some feel that sector is an appropriate use of the term, it's relatively value neutral, and so on, but others see it as stripping cooperatives of their quality as a social and an economic movement. A movement that has a value orientation that sees the economy in a certain way and sees their contributions to humanity and to society in particular ways. Regarding the second element of particular types of associations, you know, who gets to draw the line is really an important question, issues of power. I put this one in for Ivan, because that's Twilling Gate. It's, at least they say it is, Notre Dame Bay. I don't know. I can't prove this, but that's what it says. And this expression of the economy comes from the Community Economies Collective. The economy can be likened to an iceberg, primarily composed of diverse economic activities and processes hidden below the surface. And so we're talking about voluntary associations, moonlighting, self-provisioning, cooperatives, nonprofits, gift exchanges, unpaid labor, and on and on. And I like that because that's two peaks. So in a way you can talk about the public and the private, and then all the rest is the social economy, right? Just for purposes of graphics. The handout that I've distributed is a version of this slide. And the idea is that the social economy is about people, about meeting the needs of people and their communities. There's a bit of a discussion of this on our Social Economy Atlantic website with access to other resources on the social economy. But there is general agreement that meeting the needs of people in their communities. And if we're thinking in this group of bridging all our different types of organizations that we're studying and working with and working in and being part of, thinking about the social economy as this wonderful toolbox where we can get things that we need. We don't have to be stuck and into a particular type of organization or, you know, I work in the nonprofit sector, so I only think about nonprofits, or I'm a cooperative person, and that's what I think of when I think of the social economy. But it's this vast array, as Omer was alluding to with the miscoup. So the social economy is an inclusive term that challenges us to enter into a discourse about the way that we meet our needs. And the quote on the little handout I gave you about widening the scope of intelligibility, that comes from Lacalle. And it's just a way of saying, I suppose in colloquialism, to think outside the box, to think about the vast array of tools and opportunities that we have. And I would submit that it's a well-stocked toolbox. Right? A big tent for all to fit under, to learn from one another, to coalesce as allies, to bridge, to challenge our narrow views, and to go beyond them. Much of what Seth was talking about, I think, fits into the idea of the social economy as having instrumental value. It has some advantages, some disadvantages too, but some advantages to position yourself as part of the social economy or, in the case of his research, social enterprise, offering a place from which to gain visibility and legitimacy, to influence policy, to shape opinion. It can provide access to opportunities, and what Jean-Marc was describing, if that program for financing the social economy had gone through nationally, then everybody would have been lining up. Hey, I'm a social economic organization! Right? And potentially really good employees, right? People who share the values and the commitments of your organization. And of course, attract like-minded potential partnerships and access to networks. The social economy also offers expressive value. Creating identity for your organization through a positive and proactive commitment to particular values. Recognition that all organizations are value-laden. It's just some have different values than others. Those who claim to be neutral, like neutral scientists, are not necessarily so. Assert the values expressed in the social economy. The social economy is a place where identities are characterized by a belief in community, a belief in community control, social justice, democracy, and an economy that integrates social and, of course, we should say environmental objectives as priorities. Or at least can do that. Although I like to say that being a part of the social economy doesn't confer a halo. Platform for advocacy, mobilization, and social innovation. And this is something I really want to stress. Omer talked about the vulnerability of the sector and the vulnerability of our communities in the region and the vulnerability of many of our peoples. The social economy, if we take it seriously as a social change, has having a social change orientation, offers a platform for advocacy around policy and public education, new areas of research, and a contribution to framing the role of the state. Advocacy on the behalf of social inclusion and empowerment. Mobilization, both for advocacy and for mutual self-help, taking charge of a piece of the economy. Demonstrate and promote opportunities for social innovation. And I think that that's something that's a real selling point for the social economy, is that it's very innovative, valuing people's creativity and inventiveness. And in this, just to give you a bit of a context, there's a very interesting continuum that's been developed by within the food security literature. I'm going to use McCollum's work here, that talks about a continuum from short-term immediate need, meeting immediate need types of strategies, through to a medium term where you're building networks and accommodating to the society, but beginning to think about transformation through to a stance that says we will change the social institutions. And within food security, we can think of that as food banks. We have to have food banks, unfortunately, in our society right now, but that we don't want to live with them forever. But it's a short-term residual strategy. Medium-term, it's building the networks. The project on the food box program begins to talk about this medium-term strategy. And then, of course, long-term, redesigning food systems. And we could elaborate on that. But the idea is that within the social economy, you accommodate the system, which I think is sort of a little bit of what David was saying, but you also can transform it. Right? So you're sort of doing both things at the same time. Maybe not all in one organization, but the pieces of the social economy together offer us these opportunities. This last slide, I'm going to come in under. Thinking about in terms of the social economy, allows us to identify and use a variety of tools and instruments, to recognize both instrumental and expressive values, to see the continuum of residual, reformist, and transformative thinking, acting, and innovating, to discard polarized thinking in favor of nuanced thinking, and to assert the importance of engagement in policy processes and assertively, proactively engaging in shaping the role of the state. Thank you.